All right, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 24 through 29, and you probably will appreciate my title this morning. You know what it is? Wouldn't hurt to pay attention. That's my title. Wouldn't hurt to pay attention. Let me begin reading at verse 24 of chapter 2. Every couple minutes, I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, it wouldn't hurt to pay attention. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Shall we pray? Father, thank you this morning for the good music and the song that was just sung with such a timely message. And Lord, how we need you this hour. I pray now that you would bless that which I've read, the precious word of God. And then I pray that you would bless it to the application that needs to be made in all of the lives of those that are tuned in this morning, whether here or out there. I just pray today that we might all give attention to what we're hearing from the Word of God. Not that what I say makes a lot of difference, but it's the Bible that we preach, and that especially is what needs to be listened to carefully. So, Father, now would you bless? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, paying attention is not always easy, and I think y'all will agree with that. It's not always easy, especially sometimes if you are in a situation and you are, let's say you're in a class or, for that matter, even in a church service, or maybe you go off to a seminar, or maybe there's some kind of a training that you're supposed to be a part of. And then when you get into the training, let's say you go inside the room, and let's say it's winter time, and then the heat's on inside the room, and then let's say before you attended the class, you didn't sleep too well the night before, and then on the top of that, you have a boring speaker. And you keep nodding off, and it's just hard to, stay, just like you all are doing right now for me. And sometimes a boring speaker, it doesn't help things a whole lot. I can remember many, many times I've been to seminars, I've been to classes, I've been some of the classrooms of the some of the classes that I've had in relationship to my education programs I've been a part of, or even in the military. I can remember some of those boring PowerPoint by death type classes that I used to have to sit under. And time and time again, my head would drop off, and I'd go off into sleep. Now, some of you old fellow jarheads can remember sitting into some of them classes when you were at Parris Island. It could get you in trouble if you fall off to sleep, right? Right, Brother Logan, and right, Gary? I can remember my head dropping off when I was at Parris Island, and the DI'd come sneaking up behind me and literally smacked me in the back of the head. I mean, they took that stuff serious. You didn't fall asleep when you were in that type of training. But anyway, sometimes it's hard to pay attention. And then sometimes maybe the subject matter is not too important. And there's a lot of things we could factor in, but it's just not easy all the time to pay attention. Now, if we could conduct church services like sometimes people have the liberty to do in terms of the way they approach the classes. It would be nice if I could every now and then just shout out like they used to do to us in some of the classes we were in. They'd say, wake up, or, you know, pay attention or listen. But you know, you can't get by with that in church. Because you have enough trouble sometimes getting people to church, and you tell them to set up and pay attention, why, you may not see them again. So, you know, we got to approach things differently, considering the context of where we are. But I will say today that I don't know of any kind of a sitting, or whether you can call it a class if you want to. It actually is a class. Actually, a church service is a class too. But I don't know of any sitting where we're being exposed to information to where the content material is of any more important than when we're in a church service hearing the Word of God preached. I don't know of any sitting more significant than what we're doing right now. And we should be expected to pay attention, because this is some serious material here. In other words, what we see here is a matter of life or death. The content of this is that significant. So it wouldn't hurt to pay attention. I'm thinking of a passage of Scripture that's found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should let them slip. Then I'm thinking of another passage found in the book of Hebrews, where it said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But coming now back to that passage that I quoted earlier in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, it talks about letting them slip, giving heed lest we should let them slip. Neglect is a point there. Neglecting what we have heard, neglecting the truth of God's word, can result in a thing slipping by us. The old adage, what you don't use, you lose. And I think that's true even when it comes to biblical instruction. We need to pay attention to the right advice coming from the right authority, for there is much information that needs to be understood, and there's also a lot of wrong information that's being given in this world. The Bible here talks about seducers. It mentions the word. There are seducers. There are evil spirits. There are false prophets. There are people who wrest the Scriptures, who teach them and who preach them for their own profit. So we need to be very careful. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. So how it behooves us to pay attention, to take it in, to soak it in, to listen carefully, to even make notes. I encourage people, when you come to church, for heaven's sake, bring a fountain pen with you. Bring a pencil. Make a note here and there. You'll never hear anything more important than what you hear in church. Because again, we're dealing with God's word, and we're dealing with timely matters, and we're dealing with death and life issues. So pay attention. Pay attention to the fact that there are seducers in the world, verse 26. So therefore, we need to lock into the truth. Chapter 2, verse 2, it's an encouraging verse. It says, my little children. Don't you like that? My little children. So the book of 1 John is addressed to little children. Little children. But now the little children needed to mature. They needed to develop in their understanding of the truth. We're little children. We're not big children. We're little children. We're little children in big britches. We're little children in adult form, but we're still little children. And that's a humbling thought. Little children. It's actually a thought of endearment. It lets us know, it lets us see the kindness of the writer. Little children. Children need to learn. You know, by the way, there's no time in life that's any more crucial than soaking it in, learning, being taught the truth, being nurtured, than in childhood, those formative years. So little children, you know, we remain during those formative years as a Christian. The instruction stays vital. What we hear stays vitally important. Little children. Our formative years, you might say, it goes on throughout our life. Now, speaking of children, children are interesting to be around. Children say interesting things. Children do things that are funny. Children are a blessing to be around. They're sincere. They're honest. They're innocent. And many times what you hear the children say, their parents said it before them. That's why we got to be careful at home, don't we? Kids mimic what they hear at home. But one time I heard of a story of a little boy that was in a Sunday school class. And the teacher was trying to teach the biblical principle of forgiveness. And the teacher asked the question. She said, how do you get forgiveness? And this child piped up and said, you got to sin. I thought that was a little funny myself. Y'all didn't. But you know, here's the good thing about it. We do have an inside helper, little children. We have an inside helper. And do you know something? I want to show you what I'm talking about here. Verse 27. We have an inside helper. Little children have an inside helper. Look what it says. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. I take that to be a reference to the Holy Spirit, don't you? The Holy Spirit indwells the little children, the saved people. And it says, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now don't get up and go home. Understand what that means. You're not let off the hook quite yet. You need not that any man teach you. What is it saying there? Well, what was the threat? The threat were the seducers, the false teachers. And so you know what John is saying there? He's basically saying through the agency of the indwelling Holy Spirit, through that anointing, we have discerning ability. We do not have to be at the mercy of false teachers. We can mature and stand on our own feet spiritually, and we don't have to be catering to every wind of doctrine that comes floating around. When a Jehovah Witness comes to your door and knocks on the door, if you are a discerning Christian, you ought to know that that's a cult, and you ought to send them on their way packing. Jesus is not a God. He is the God. And they believe he's a God, one of many gods. We don't have to be at the mercy of that. That's why we need to get all we can from the Scripture and then can all we get from the Scriptures. So we have the inside helper. How does he teach us? He teaches us through the textbook of Scripture. The Spirit of God never goes off, you might say, on himself, though he's deity, though he is a member of the Trinity, but he gives the little children, he gives the Christian, He gives us the inside help through the discernment, but yet the teaching text is Scripture. He guides us into all truth. We become more grounded and familiar with the truth of God's Word through the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to pay attention to know and to obey the truth. The Bible is not given just to inform us. It is given to direct our steps, not simply to inform us. Psalm 119, 133 says, order my steps in thy word, in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. The Spirit of God will order our steps in the word through the Bible. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse number 6, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Colossians 2, 6. I'll mention four things. First one is this. Pay attention to who we are. So let's start right there. Pay attention to who we are. If you are saved, you are a little children or a little child. That's who we are. We need to pay attention as to who we are. Saved, little children. And how important it is. Little children. We need to know we're God's child. Let's start out right there. If you know that you're a child of God this morning, you need to pay attention to your role, to your title, to your position, and not take it for granted. It's not a careless, cheap thing to be a Christian. It's not an insignificant thing to be a child of God. It's not an unimportant matter. Being a Christian is so very important. And we need to pay attention. I'm glad that God doesn't treat His kids like a lot of parents treat their kids. And I'm glad that God's children are taught the better way than the way a lot of children are taught when it comes to as they develop in life. I'll give an example of this. I believe that parents ought to teach their children at home in those formative years. They ought to teach them the importance of character, the importance of gratitude, the importance of appreciating things, the importance of being good stewards of what they're blessed to have. I think of it like this. What about parents that invest thousands and thousands of dollars to send their children off to college, and then their children blow it? Take it for granted. Go through the school system ungrateful, not appreciating at all the fact that somebody worked hard like a dog to provide for their education. And I'll tell you, this stupid government of ours doesn't make matters any better, does it? Could you believe the so-called president of this country canceling all those college debts? I'm telling you, most of us today that went to school, we had to pay every penny out of our pocket. Amen. It all falls back on the taxpayers. Again, I don't mean to get political, but anymore I can't help get political. I hate to see my country go down the tube like it is. But anyway, how ungrateful. Kids going through school ungrateful. Piddling around, not studying, not taking advantage, then half the time, some of these Ivy League schools, you'd be better off to let your child stay at home and never darken the door of a college. If they go to a school and hear nothing but atheism and agnosticism and questioning the Bible, they'd be better off stay home. Amen. Now, we need to think about who we are. And how important it is, and what a blessing it is to be a saved person. We should never take it for granted. Let me give you an illustration that ties in with Scripture. Imagine being bankrupt. You walk into the banker one day. You look that banker right in the face and you say, "Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to clear my debt. I want you to give me a brand new start. And then I want you to adopt me in your family." Now, the creditor, the first thing he probably would do, he'd call the nearest mental hospital and he'd report that there's a nut job in his office. So come get him. Now, what does God do? He takes a spiritual bankrupt person. He clears their debt. He gives them a new start. And he adopts them into his family. And he makes them their child. My little children. Every single one of you who is saved this morning ought to be thousand times thankful that you're saved by the grace of God. And then you ought to turn around and say, "Lord, I love you for saving me, and I give you my life, which is the least I can do." Because salvation is not cheap. We need to pay attention to who we are. Secondly, we need to pay attention to what we are to do. Verse 28. What are we to do? And now, little children, abide in him. Abide. That's what we're to do. Abide in him. Are you listening to this? Are you, right now I want to ask a question. Are you paying attention to the sermon or are you paying attention to the scripture? There's a difference. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We must pay attention to what we're to do. We must abide in the truth. Abide. Verse 29 says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Do you know the doing of righteousness not only is indicative of genuine salvation? That's what the verse says. It's indicative of genuine salvation, he that doeth righteousness, but it also stimulates greater growth when we do righteousness. We grow by doing. We mature by doing. And you know, you've heard this before, a command in the Bible, a command is as sacred as a promise. Every bit is sacred. We like to hold on to those promises. How about holding on to those commands? The promise is no more important than the command. I love the promise of going to heaven when I die, but do I like the command that God says to abide in him on my way to heaven? We need to salute every command of the Bible. I don't know, maybe my old commander is watching this right now. I know sometimes they'll tune in. I remember one time I was walking through the base there over in Iraq, and a commander come by, and I think I may have held up my hand or I may have waved at him or whatever. Well, it just so happened he was a lieutenant colonel, and it just so happened that I was a lower rank. So the commander looked at me and said, "Chaplain, don't we salute anymore around here?" I can still remember his sarcasm, but I'll tell you one thing. I really grew to love and respect that man, and I do to this day, and he knows it. But anyway, we ought to salute every command of the Bible. We ought to take it as serious. You know what abide means? It means to settle down and be at home. That's what it means. Settle down and be at home. We ought to settle down and be at home in Jesus. And then this morning, we need to pay attention to where our home base is. Let me show you something. We need to pay attention to where our home base is. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The word church is used. Yes, there's the church, namely the body of Christ. But yes, there's the local church. There's a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching local church. He mentions here the pillar and ground of the truth. That says a lot. The church being the pillar and the ground of the truth, the very statement itself suggests something very important. If it's the ground of the truth, then we need to be grounded. Stand to reason? If it's the ground of the truth, we must be grounded. And I will say today, we must be grounded to a local believing, Bible believing church, which basically should function as our home base for growth in ministry. Our home base. I believe the local church is our home base for growth and ministry. There's no way you can dispute that. No way at all. What about the church epistles? Were they written to churches or not? We contend as Bible believers they were. If we could talk about this morning, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, Colossae. What about those churches? Now, since letters were written to local churches, then don't you see the importance of the local church in God's program? It has not changed. The day will come when careless Christians will regret not being committed to faithfulness in a local church. The day will come. In fact, what about what it says right here? Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I may say a couple things about that more in a moment, but you see, again, our home base, the local church. So the importance of coming, of receiving instruction, of being grounded, of getting more mature. And again, local church, what do as a local church? We come together, we preach a gospel, we attempt to the teaching ministry to edify the saints, we support missionaries. Missionaries are sent out. We're supporting missionaries all around this world, literally. How are missionaries sent out? They're sent out by local churches. Every missionary is to have a local home church. You cannot undermine or underplay the significance of a local church. Every person that's saved ought to be baptized. It ought to be a functioning member of a Bible-believing, local gospel-preaching church. Because the church is where they're fed, it's where they're blessed. It just makes biblical sense. That's not a preaching tidbit. That's not just kind of a point that preachers make just to be making. No, it's a biblical order. And the day will come that people will regret it if they do not faithfully support a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. I say that with no malice at all in my heart. It's just a fact. It's in Scripture. The point is proven. And I mean it. And it's a point. You will remember. In fact, I'm not so sure but what the day will come when careless Christians stand before God that have not gotten serious about the local church. I'm not so sure but what they won't be reminded that old preacher, Chuck Peters, on February, whatever the date this is, I can't half see him watch anymore. He made that comment from the pulpit. You know what, my friend? You need to pay attention. You know who you're looking at? You're looking at your pastor, Chuck Peters, but you're looking at a preacher of the gospel. You're looking at a person that's been called of God and ordained of God. And what I say when it comes from the book is all important. You can dispute me as a person. You can disagree with what I say, but if it's coming from the book, you'd be wise to pay attention. This is not idle. This is not idle chit-chat time we're doing here this morning. Pillar and ground. You know what that means? The local church is a trustee. A trustee for the truth of God. We owe the church our presence. We owe the church our prayers. We owe the church our participation. Now let me paint a hypothetical scenario here. Imagine Christians standing before God and being asked, why did you not attend church? And then imagine some of them saying, I was scared to go because I was afraid of catching a germ. Let me tell you something, my friend. I'm scared that if I stay home, I'll catch a germ. That's how I feel about it. Let me tell you something. COVID is over. In case some people didn't know it, get back in church for heaven's sake. Don't y'all get quiet on me quite yet. Amen. Of course, it's you. You're here. But I'm thinking about those lazy people at home that are not sick, that could come to church, that still use COVID as an excuse. I'm sorry, but I just believe in telling it like it is. This church ought to be packed out this morning of people anxious to hear from God. Speaking of the germ, I'm scared to come to church because I might catch a germ. Let me tell you something, the germ will show up, I believe, in people's lives and possibly in their families. More times than not. Parents, adults, we set the standards. We show people by our steadfastness, by our discipline, by our love for what God loves, we show our young people that are following in our steps, we show them in shoe leather what Christianity is. We do not want to be responsible for someone going astray. It may not mean a whole lot now, but believe you me, it will. If we believe the Bible. We need to get ourselves in and then attempt to get others in too, don't we? We still, churches are not to lose that vision. We preach, we teach, we evangelize the sinner, we edify the saint. That's what we do. And above all, we exalt Christ. D.L. Moody, years and years ago, back in the 19th century, he brought a pew full of kids in from the street to this particular church that he had been attending, and he's thinking about joining. He brought those little dirty-nosed kids off the street into the church. The aristocrats that made up that church, the story goes, were disturbed by those dirty kids being in church. Dale Moody was given consideration to joining that church. He later on, when he was presented as membership, the aristocratic panel, whether it be elders, deacons, whoever it might have been, they advised him before he joined to pray about joining the church. Later on, they asked him, they said, Mr. Moody, what did God tell you? He said, God told me to not feel bad about being cold-shouldered. I've been trying to get in that church for 20 years. Your quietness indicates you're thinking, right? God should be totally welcome in every church, shouldn't he? It wouldn't hurt to pay attention because it would help us not only now, but later. And then finally this morning, we need to pay attention to the word concerning his coming. Concerning his coming. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, there it is, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know his coming. What a precious truth. His coming. You know, the Bible says here, he shall appear. 1 John 2:28. The Bible says, and that, by the way, that's positive. He shall appear. That's positive. And then the Bible says, he has appeared. That's Hebrews 9 and verse 26. And that's past. He shall appear. That's positive. He has appeared. That's in the past. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appeared to die on Calvary. And then, the Bible says, he does now appear. That's Hebrews 9, 24. He does now appear. That's present. Okay, he shall appear. That's positive. That's future. He has appeared. That's past. And he does now appear, and that's present. Right now, he appears on behalf of his people. So now, in light of his coming, we ought to have confidence and not be ashamed. And not be ashamed. We don't want to be ashamed. If Jesus would come back, we don't want to be ashamed. Oh, it's going to be glory awaiting. But for the Bible to say, to not be ashamed, then that indicates there's a possibility that some can be ashamed. Yeah, that's pretty serious, isn't it? We don't want to be ashamed. We want to live our lives abiding in him. Take everything as serious as he takes it. And then when he comes, and I'll tell you one thing, he could come any moment, and we all believe that, don't we? We want to stand before him and not be ashamed. The Bible says, Zephaniah, my last verse, and I'm through. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. There are many who know no shame. But if there's anyone that ought to guard against being put to shame, it ought to be the people of God, the little children. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray this morning that every single one of us will pay attention to what has been preached, to pay attention to the scriptures that's been preached. And Lord, help us to pay attention to who we are, to why we're here, to what we're to do, and to where we are to hang our hats, so to speak. Help us to pay attention, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to hearts now to someone this morning in this audience, either here or out there, that's never gotten saved. May they pay attention to the need of their soul. And then, Heavenly Father, help us this morning that know you to be more thankful than ever. We're a little child. But then to live in light of being a little child. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. How many of God's people in this church service right now would quietly slip a hand in the air and say, "Preacher, the Spirit of God put his finger on something in my heart and in my life that I need to pay attention to. He spoke to my heart through the scriptures, and I need to pay attention to it. And will you just pray with me about it? Would you slip your hands up this morning? Anyone? Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes. Are you here this morning and not truly settled about being saved? And you'd say this morning, I need to get saved, Preacher Peters. I need to get saved before it's too late. Would you pray for me? Anyone? Slip your hand up. Anybody in service? Those that are watching right now, if you don't know the Lord, I pray that you'll call on the Lord, admitting you're a sinner, and ask God to save you, believing that He paid your sin debt on Calvary, and ask Him to come into your heart and life and save you. And now as we come to this invitation time, Father, I pray those that are here this morning that some raised their hands and some didn't, but there are those today who just want to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to pay attention today to what you've shown me in my life that needs, that I need to give it some attention. And I need to consider some things that I've been doing that I need to quit doing, or I need to be doing some things that I haven't been doing that I know now that I need to start doing. Lord, I pray if there's maybe some folks here today that's careless about their attitude towards the home base, towards commitment and stewardship and responsibility and membership and serving God and things like that that are biblically based. May they be willing to come today and say, Lord, I want to get the record settled. I want to get the record settled for the glory of God. Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.